You're listening to the Christy G Podcast with me, your host, Christy G. Here I sit and talk with some of the most funny, talented, and inspiring people on the planet. So sit back and enjoy this newest episode. Hey guys, welcome to episode 15. And holy guacamole, do I have a super fun episode for you today. I am chatting with Chris Conley of Save the Freaking Day, a band I have loved for 20 plus years easily. Oh yeah, writing a record. Oh yeah, you're gonna love it. You'll know it forward and backward. We'll get it stuck in your head. Every day on your way to work on time. Always down, you sing as loud as you can. You know we love it when you sing along. Turn it up with Save the Day. Turn it up. He is seriously one of the nicest humans I have ever had the pleasure of meeting. And, you know, I've had some really not so fun interactions with musicians in the past, and that really bummed me out. So up until this point on the podcast, I've only been chatting with people in the music world on here that I've either known before, talked to before, or just knew really well in real life. And I just formed this little bubble. And so when I, you know, decided I'm going to talk to Chris, this is going to be fun and awesome, I was secretly like really anxious about it because, you know, I was going out of that bubble and I was really worried about it. But you guys, Chris totally renewed my faith in meeting new people in the music industry. He is so humble. He is so kind. Super funny. You can tell he absolutely just like loves making music and he loves his fans. And a little fun thing for me is that he loves poppy colors in his wardrobe, which is something that's totally like my lingo. And like, I was like, okay, we're going to be friends. This is just how it's going to be. And I just had a lot of fun talking to him. We talk about the comments that you guys had for him on my Instagram. We answer all the questions that you guys had for him. We also talk about health and happiness, our love for California, growing up in the 80s and 90s, creativity, his friendship with his friend Lloyd Vines, his life as a dad, and like so much more. I even get to introduce him to a cover of At Your Funeral that he has never heard before. And I was shocked and so freaking pumped that I got to share that with him. It's a lot of fun. It's just so much fun. And in all the excitement in my conversation, you will hear my iconic comments like, so cool, and that's fun. Because I think when I seriously am like really into something, like that's what I say on the podcast. It's hilarious because outside podcast world, I never really say those things. But you can tell I'm having a good time when I say those in a podcast conversation. And you hear that a lot. So yeah, I should make a game of it, like bingo or something for every time Christy says, so cool, and that's fun. But it's only because I was having a blast. But anyhow, guys, I seriously had the most fun. So let's get right into my conversation with Chris Conley.
Hey, how you doing?
Good, how are you?
I'm very good. Thanks for wanting to do this.
Yeah, I'm so excited. Thank you.
Yeah, me too. This is great.
Yay. Awesome. Cool. How are you doing today so far?
I'm doing good. It's my daughter's last day of her extended break from school. So tomorrow her online classes begin. Yeah, so it's nice. Like, we're just spending time together today. She's teaching me all about Nintendo.
That's amazing.
Yeah, it's really fun. She's the best.
How old is she now?
She's going to be 15 in May.
Wow.
Yeah. Do you have kids?
I don't. I can't imagine. 15. Wow. That's awesome.
It's wild. Yeah. She's a freshman in high school.
Wow. That's awesome.
Yeah. Yeah. It's the best.
Very cool. Yeah. I was wondering how kids are doing it these days. Sound like an old person. How are they doing school these days? But
yeah, I think some schools are still trying to figure it out.
Yeah.
But her school's really, really top notch.
Nice.
And so they're on it. So they're gonna have like the virtual classrooms and stuff. So it should be pretty legit.
That's awesome.
Yeah.
That's, man. That's
how's it going in LA right now?
Pretty good. Yeah, everyone for the most part seems to be behaving, except for the beach part. But
yeah.
It's been really quiet, which is nice but odd.
Right.
But
yeah, there's almost the ghost town vibe everywhere.
Yeah, I didn't know that you lived in California until now. For some reason.
Oh yeah. I've been out here since I moved out here in 2003.
Oh wow. Okay.
Yeah, I moved to Chico, and then I bought my house in 2004, so I've lived in the same home for 16 years
now.
Yeah, I love it. I love it here.
I do, too. I came out in 2007.
So. Oh, nice.
Yeah.
From where?
From Texas.
Oh, cool. What part?
Out in the boonies. I always just tell people it's like 35 miles northwest of San Antonio, like in a really small country redneck town, which is be fun later when I tell you about how I found out about you guys and my history with Saves the Day, because in the 90s, we didn't have all the stuff we do now. So the fact that my little bohunky cowboy town, I was able to find you guys, blows my mind.
Yeah, seriously, that's awesome.
Yeah. But yeah, so I love it out here, though. It's really fun.
Oh, my gosh. It's so much better.
Yeah. And you're from the East Coast, right?
Yeah, I'm from New Jersey.
Yeah. Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Cool.
And I moved out here right from Brooklyn. So it was totally like overnight, a brand new world.
Totally.
Yeah.
I know. I went from a town of about 1,000 people to 4 million.
It was
weird.
Yeah, totally.
But
the world goes upside down, but in a good way.
Totally.
Yeah.
Awesome. Cool. Are we ready to get going here?
Yeah, heck yeah.
Awesome. Okay, so obviously yesterday you did your digital happy hour, which was so freaking fun. I love that.
That was a blast. I'm excited. We're going to do that once a week.
I love it. And you genuinely looked so happy. Like you were having like the best time.
It was so fun. I mean, I really, really love to play.
Mm-hmm.
And like I love Save the Day songs and I love our fans. So it was a win.
It was a win for us too. And it was fun. Like I had to go back and rewatch it again because I wanted to like focus on the comments because it was really fun to see how happy other people were too.
Oh, so you can read through the comments.
Yeah.
I'm going to do that because they were scrolling by at a million miles an hour of mine.
Yeah, it was wild. I think I tried to comment like twice. I'm like, he's never going to see this. It's just going so fast. But yeah, it was really fun. And it just kind of reminded me how right now, especially how everyone can be so connected so far apart.
Yeah.
And it was really nice.
Yeah. Yeah, it's really cool. I've been making it like my main priority to be more present for everybody online.
Yeah.
And I'm not like an internet guy. I like missed the internet. And but now I fully get it. And for that exact reason, just so that we can all be connected.
Totally.
And now it's just so important right now.
For
sure. So it's been really, really rewarding, you know, and it makes people, you know, brightens their day.
It totally. It's funny because I had some things like scheduled and in my brain, I was thinking it was going to be 4 p.m. Eastern. So 1 o'clock I log on and I'm sitting there and I'm just like.
Oh, yeah. Right.
And
I
text my friend and I was like, where is he? She's like, oh, no, it's not for another 3 hours. I'm like, oh, I'm such a dummy. So then I just like figured out something else to do. But I had my whole day set around this. I got to be on the couch at this time.
Oh, that's so awesome.
Yeah.
That means a lot to me. I was so honored that so many people showed up to have such a good time.
It was
truly special.
Yeah. And I'm really pumped that you're doing it once a week. That's super fun.
Yeah. I'm looking forward to it. It'll be different every time.
Yeah. That's cool. So, I mean, that's kind of what we're involved in now with this whole coronavirus situation and you're doing these awesome things to help us. What are you doing for yourself? I noticed you said you were doing a cleanse.
Yeah, I'm doing this miracle cleanse. It's not the master cleanse that I used to read about the master cleanse. I never did that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you'd see like Jared Leto doing it or whatever. But I never did that. But I've done a lot of fasting over the years. But okay. I just do it. I started off doing like, you know, 24 hours. And then I worked my way up to like 48 hours, 72 hours. And eventually I was doing a week-long fast.
Wow.
And I try to do that multiple times a year.
Mm-hmm.
And the longest I've ever gone is like 10 days.
Wow.
And I had to start doing that because I had Crohn's disease starting when I was like around 15.
Yeah.
But then I had to get off my parents' health insurance. Mm. And if you have a pre-existing condition, you're pretty much screwed.
Yeah.
So I had to learn like how to take care of it myself. But a friend of mine gave me this amazing book called The Tao of Health, Sex, and Longevity.
Mm-hmm.
And there's a section there in the health section about how to basically harmonize your body so that it works within the system that nature has set up.
Wow.
In other words, so if you eat a certain kind of food, you should know what kind of enzymes your body secretes so that you're not, if you eat two foods that are not really in harmony, your body won't know which enzyme to secrete. And like, that's why like Atkins works and stuff, because
yeah.
your body secretes one enzyme to deal with and break down carbohydrates and a different one for proteins.
Wow.
So anyway, in that book, I learned all about that, but it was promoting fasting. Like it said that fasting would be really, really good for your health as well. So I started to do that. So 10 years after I was diagnosed with Crohn's disease, it went away.
Wow.
So yeah, a lot of people don't know that can go away, you know, and they're stuck with it for their life. And
yeah.
it's a really debilitating disease. So anyway, that's how I got into fasting. And so I've kept doing it because it cured all that. And also, I started to realize that the mind-body connection is so intense and
yeah.
so immediate. So after I'd come out of these like week-long fasts, after like day four, when you get over that just like horrible like flu-like thing where you're
yeah.
flushing out all the toxins, you start to feel euphoric. And by the
yeah.
end of it, you feel like you could just jump over a house. And then when you start eating again, you know, I started to notice, like, if I ate the wrong thing, I not only would it make me physically ill, but I'd get in a bad mood.
Hmm.
Like, so it would mess me up emotionally.
Wow.
Yeah, and so since I'm like so emo that I have to like, I have to really, really walk the line,
yeah.
like, toe the line or whatever, to make sure that I'm constantly in touch with my emotions. And that's really, really hard. I've had a hard time over the years,
wow.
especially when later on in my life, I developed like an intense love of Sierra Nevada's beer.
Okay.
Man, like I just went into the deep end and drank the whole pool.
Yeah.
So I'm learning about that as well. And so that's all really, really important right now, you
that's
know, to stay. Yeah. And so the miracle cleanse thing is, this like basically it's like a tonic or it's a liquid like almost like a potion.
it is that
Bragg, the company Bragg, makes. And it's
yeah.
Apple cider vinegar, organic honey, lemon, and cayenne pepper. And I think that's what you do on the master cleanse as well. That's all it is.
Okay.
But yeah, anyway, you just cut that with water, and I've just been jamming on that. And
Well,
it's never
dang.
Fun to start them, but it always feels good after.
Well, if you're saying at day four you feel like super amazing, if you're like, okay, because I was talking to my friend Jameson, who I think you actually were on his podcast at one point, and he was like, man, he seems so happy today. So if you're like, seems super happy yesterday, like next week, you're
gonna, oh, yeah.
I'm really pumped to see how happy
oh,
you are.
Oh, definitely. Oh, definitely. Absolutely.
That's,
I mean,
that's so cool.
In general, I'm a really happy person.
Mm-hmm.
But I think, you know, it's just living in the world
yeah.
can be so hard. And being human is so hard.
Totally.
And I think, I don't think many of us are taught proper coping mechanisms.
Mm-hmm.
So I've been doing the wrong thing for so many years.
Yeah.
But in just my baseline is that I'm friggin' psyched.
That's awesome. I feel like me and you are very similar. I'm on day 37, I think, of like just cutting out alcohol because I learned like...
Nice.
Yeah, well done. Because I was like getting stressed out. I'm kind of like a ball of anxiety. And I was like, well, I'm just going to like take a shot of whiskey before I do this and a shot of whiskey before I do that.
Exactly.
And I'm like, oh, I just feel so gross. So now I'm just like cutting it out. And
yeah, so good for you. That's so awesome.
So that totally like speaks to me what you're saying.
it really, like, I love it. Like, I really love Sierra Nevada. I'm not going to, I mean, I really, they're here in Chico, you know, so it's, we're all sort of proud that they're here, and they use like incredibly pure ingredients.
That's awesome.
But like, you know, like in the depths of a dark depression, like days would go by where I only drank beer.
Yeah.
And especially being so used to fasting, like it didn't even faze me that I wasn't eating.
Oh wow, that's true.
You know, but it starts to you start to spiral into further into the depression because it's a depressant.
It is totally.
You know, it makes sense, but man, it's hard because I love it. I really love it.
Aww. Well, man, I'm happy for you that you're.
So I'm doing that, and then I'm staying busy with music, working on music, making an album with my friend Lloyd Vines.
Nice.
Here in Chico, he's an incredible musician. He's an amazing skateboarder. He's just an all around really cool dude. The music we're making is really fun. It's like post genre. It's sort of futuristic sounding.
Oh, cool.
It's like emo, hip hop, pop punk. Kind of thing.
That's awesome.
It's really, really cool. So, and then full-time dad.
Yeah.
And my daughter's here with me most of the time. And well, before life was like this, you know, we had our normal routine.
Yeah.
Of getting up early in the morning, getting her to school, and then the afternoon would unfold. But now we're still trying to have somewhat normal schedule, but we get up and like we hang around the house. It's pretty awesome. Like, so since today is her last day of her extended break before these online classes, she's teaching me all about Nintendo games, and we've been playing Mario Kart, which is just so fun.
That's awesome. Like the
last day of vacation today.
Is it like the old school, like Super Nintendo, or like?
It's the Switch, which I bought her. Yeah, okay. I bought her that for Christmas like 2 years ago, and I've been like waiting to try to get my hands on Zelda, but she loves it. She has a lot of fun with it, and so she's teaching me the games that she plays.
So my ex boyfriend many moons ago had the Super Nintendo, and I had the Super Mario game, and then we broke up.
Yeah.
He took the console, and I have the game. So I'm like, I have the game, and I can't play it, and it makes me nuts. That's like the only thing I ever played.
One. You could find one for super cheap.
Especially right
Mario's,
now.
Mario's awesome.
That's really cool.
Yeah, I think it's been in like all of our lives.
Yeah.
Kids that grew up in the 80s forever.
Totally. Do you mind me asking, how old are you?
I've just turned 40 on leap year.
Oh, happy birthday.
Thank you.
Awesome. Yeah, I'm 38, so we're very similar.
Yeah, we would have been in high school together.
That's so cool. Okay, so speaking of high school, like... I tell people who are in bands, like, you know, you go back and you listen to records. I'm sure you know this. It's like a time machine, you know?
And it is. You can feel the feeling.
Yeah. And some of my favorite memories were driving around. Like, I would go to Austin a lot for concerts. We go to Emo's. That's mostly where I go see you play.
I love playing Emo's.
Like, the old Emo's. It was so fun.
Oh, it was the best.
So I would always go see you guys there. Yeah.
The best.
It was so cool. And so some of my favorite memories are driving. I had, like, a Ford Ranger because I was in Texas, you know? Driving around in my little Ford Ranger with the windows down, listening to you guys. And every now and then I get really homesick, and I'll either put on Saves the Day, and for some reason, the New Amsterdam's always takes me back.
Oh, that's rad. That's so cool.
So those are
That's so cool. I was just watching Matt do a live Facebook concert.
That's awesome.
Just a little while ago. He's one of my closest friends
in
this whole world of music. And that's so cool that the new Ams are, they're so awesome.
Ugh.
He's a really special dude.
He's so
especially
talented.
Back then, you know, like Saves the Day and the Get Up Kids were two of the first emo bands of the second wave of emo to really like become
Totally.
You know, like these big bands. And so we grew up side by side, basically.
Yeah.
And then my first solo tour I ever did was with him, and it was just me and him in a van, just driving around.
That's awesome.
And on our, it was so fun. On our days off, we would go camping.
Aww.
Yeah, it was really awesome. And then, like, later on, we were touring together again. We brought our daughters out.
Aww.
And, yeah, he's really great, dude. I love Matt.
That is really cool. I love stories like that.
Yeah.
It's so fun. But, yeah, so, like, every now and then I just get, like, I'm just like, man, I miss home. So I'll put on that. And I just think about all those times I go drive. I think it was 81 miles from my hometown. We drive 81 miles, go stand in line at Emo's. And, like, I can stay up till 4 o'clock in the morning, go to work at 7, be totally fine, you know?
I now remember
and
those
days. It
was
fun. Now I'm just like, my friends play out here, and they're like, we go out at 11. And I was like, oh, God, why?
I know, that's late. I know.
But once you're there, it's, like, super fun, you know? But
yeah, seriously.
That's cool.
But, yeah, yeah, even it's like trying to get by on even 6 hours of sleep is like, oh, my gosh.
It's so fun.
Yeah.
But yeah, since being out here, I saw you guys at the Troubadour, like when I, like, it must have been like 2009 or 10 ish.
Oh, rad.
And, or eight maybe. Anyways, but, and then
I
like,
I love the Troubadour.
It's so fun. I was so bummed I missed you guys the last time you were here. I was
sad. That was cool.
And even like the Amoeba show, I had plans to go, and I was, like, ready to go, and I got the flu. There's, like, the flu that went through.
Oh, dang.
And I was, like, I can't go. I was, like, I'm gonna risk, I'm just going to go stand there and be miserable. And I was, like, no, no, I'm going to get him sick, and that would be horrible. So let's not do that. But,
well,
yeah.
Those were, that was fun. I love playing Troubadour. I think it might be one of my favorite venues anywhere in all the world.
It's amazing. I love it because you can go sit in the top like an old person, because that's totally my vibe now.
Yeah, and you can really see everything.
You can.
Yeah, totally. I like to sit at concerts now, too.
That's awesome. yeah, I don't know. It's funny how, I don't know, I don't think about it too much until I, like save the day. It's like they're always there in my world. And today, or this past week, I sat down and I was like, wow, like, I have all these fun memories. Like, my friend James and Laura, like, they played She Walked Down the Aisle. And,
oh, that's so cool.
And, like, all these memories, I'm like, oh. Like, and even, like, a girl on Instagram, I believe her name was, Melissa. She said her first dance was Nightingale.
Yeah, yeah, I saw that. That's
so
rad.
Fun. Do you hear a lot of stories like that?
I do, and it's really special, and the whole thing is so dreamlike, you know, it's surreal, you're living this incredible dream, and to me, it's just, I just feel so grateful, you know, like these songs that I wrote, you know, just maybe to get through a tough experience, or, you know, to vent at, you know, a time when I just needed to get stuff off my chest, and then years later, you find out that that connected with somebody in such a way that it became a part of their life.
Yeah.
Or they got it tattooed. You know,
a
couple of days ago, someone actually asked me to write Nightingale in my handwriting, take a picture, because they were going to get that tattooed.
Wow.
And like that stuff is really, really cool. You know,
I
can't believe it. And I really feel so lucky to get to do this, but I also take it really seriously for that reason. You know, it means something to people, and I very much honor that. And I'm dedicated to it.
That's amazing. I have one band tattoo, and I always wonder, like, oh my God, what would I do if these guys ended up being terrible people?
What is it?
It's MXPX.
Oh, they're awesome.
Yeah, they were like my first love, and I was like 15. You know,
that's awesome. So, yeah, they're good. They're good people.
Yeah, so I'm like, oh God, like that would seriously. My friend has a Get Up Kids tattoo. We talk about this all the time. I'm like, oh, I'm so glad Matthew Pryor is an awesome person.
Yeah, I know, right? Totally.
That's so cool. I can't. Like, I think about it. I have zero musical talent, and so I think it's neat when you guys can create this stuff, like. It blows my mind. It's like physics to me. I'm like, I do not get it. Like, I don't understand. Like, the idea of, like, writing music just blows my mind. Like,
it's amazing. Thank you. Matt and I talk about it all the time, how, like, if you have that knack for songwriting, it's just something that just comes naturally to you.
That's awesome.
You know, it's like we work really hard at the craft of developing the ideas once they come, but the ideas sort of float into their air on their own.
Wow.
You know, and it's a gift to get to do it. And there are lots of people, there's lots of different kinds of musicians. I'm in awe of them all. And one of those types is a songwriter. Mm-hmm. So Matt and I are definitely lucky to get to be those dudes. We love writing lyrics and we love writing songs, and the melodies seem to show up on their own.
That's amazing. I took guitar lessons for like a hot second and I learned one song. My guitar instructor, instead of just learning basic chords, he's like, tell me what song you want to learn and we'll learn it. And I was like, okay. So I learned Campfire Kansas. Was that?
Oh, that's awesome.
And that's the only song I've ever played, but now I already forgot it because it didn't stick in my brain. But I was like, I got through it.
That's a great one. That's a great song to learn.
And it just reminded, it always like, that song was like one of my nostalgic, like feel good, like I want to go home to Austin and hang out with my friend JD kind of songs, you know?
Yeah, that's rad.
That's so cool. That song,
the Get Up Kids have created so many amazing memories for people too. Yeah. They're just really special band.
I would love to see you guys play together.
Oh, definitely. We were trying to get a tour together this year, and we're still trying to do that.
Awesome. Very cool.
Yeah.
All right. Let's get back to Saves the Day because, hello, we need to talk about Saves the Day more. You know, I reached out to people on Instagram, and I got a lot of comments and questions. So I thought we'd just kind of go over those.
Cool.
All right. So first, Nate wanted to say his favorite song is Hollyhocks. So just so you know.
Thank you, Nate. I love that song. I love playing that song.
That one is really fun. I hope I pronounce these people's names right. Venice? It looks like Venice.
Yeah, Venice. I know Venice.
Oh, perfect. Cool. She said her favorite tour you did was with Circa Survive and Monine. And she wants to know what you're currently working on. Are there any new Bug Sessions planned? And she would love to hear more about the collab with Lloyd, which we kind of touched base on already.
Yes, actually, I'm working on new Saves the Day for certain. I've got about 1,000 songs already.
Awesome.
So I'm just waiting for the time when the other projects are finished so that I can sink my teeth into that. But it's going to be awesome. I'm really excited. I keep waking up with songs in my head from dreams.
Wow.
Yeah, and that's a first for me. I've never had that. So I'm really psyched. So wherever they come from, I'm just like really grateful. And I can't wait to bring them to life.
Awesome.
So yeah, the 10th album is going to be something really cool, I think. There are definitely going to be more Bug Sessions. I was just thinking about that yesterday while I was doing the live stream. Uh-huh. That I love playing these songs acoustic. You kind of can hear the song in its essence.
Mm-hmm.
And I feel like it's a really cool way to get inside the idea of the song. Like, what is it really saying? You know, what are these lyrics about? And then you can focus on the melody and the chords and stuff more, because it's not like this noisy onslaught of rock and roll, which I'm into as well. But I'm getting more and more, maybe it's because I'm getting older, getting more and more into that acoustic thing.
Yeah.
So I'm definitely going to do that. I'd like to have a new Bug Sessions ready for this rescheduled Third Eye Blind tour to sell on that, because I think that'd be cool. And if people don't know what the Bug Sessions are, we've done 3 or 4 releases of acoustic reinterpretations of Saves the Day songs. And it's a really cool way to go back to some of the old songs and some of the new songs and some of the songs in between and just give them a fresh twist. And it's just cool. It's cool to hear the songs in different contexts. I'm thinking of doing some as a cappella numbers. And I think it's going to be interesting. And this album with Lloyd is really special. It's Lloyd is an incredible songwriter and lyricist. He's an incredible MC and he's a great singer. And he's just a really creative guy, and we connect in a way that's like our souls are bonded.
Hmm.
Like before I met Lloyd, I felt a little bit more alone out there.
Yeah.
And then when we met, it was like I was meeting like myself some way.
That's awesome.
Yeah, it was amazing. It feels like he's just such a special friend.
Yeah.
But then we got to know each other just like outside of music, And then when I got to know his music and his words and saw like how he thinks, I realized this is a long lost friend.
Wow.
And so the album we're working on with our friend Sed as well, Cedric Hughes, is an amazing producer. And so Sed and I are producing, and I'm playing guitar and singing. Sed's doing a lot of keys, and he makes all the beats and everything. And then Lloyd comes up with all the song ideas, and he's just an amazing lyricist. I can't wait for people to hear this. Some people have been following along on our Instagram stories as we post little clips of the songs here and there, and people seem to dig it. I mean, the songs are really special. The music is very of tomorrow. You know, it's doesn't sound like much that you've heard before.
That's great.
And so. Yeah, it's another gift just to get to work on that with him. The album is called You Can't Spell Love Without LV. His name's Lloyd Vines.
That's amazing.
So there's, hence Aww. The LV. Yeah.
That's cool. I am pumped. I am really, really intrigued too. Also by the Third Eye Blind thing. I saw them in 1996.
I know.
I believe you did? Yeah, it was
I bet they were awesome.
Yeah, it was this Texas Rock Fest, and it was like Bush, No Doubt, Third Eye Blind. Jewel. Yeah. I don't know. It was like pure 90s. And I'm like, I don't think I've seen them since.
Yeah, it's so wild. Cool. They've been around for so long. We're so lucky that they asked us to come on tour. They asked us last year and we couldn't do it. And they went on tour with Jimmy Eat World.
Yeah.
And this year we were so glad they asked us again because I really like their band.
Yeah.
And you know, they've been around forever and their music is actually good.
Yeah, totally.
You know, a lot of radio bands are, you know, it's everybody's opinion, but in my opinion, not a lot of radio bands are all that good, or especially like a band like Third Eye Blind. They have a deep catalog of great songs. It's not just one hit, you know. So it's most impressive. So I'm super excited that all got rescheduled instead of getting totally canceled. I really look forward to that.
Yeah, and that's rescheduled till October, if I remember right.
I think this one, I think Chain Fest was going to happen in LA is October 17th.
Okay.
And a trip to Japan has been moved to just before Thanksgiving, but the Third Eye Blind tour will be happening this summer.
Awesome.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
Dang, man. Did you love, I mean, I'm sure this is a yes, but did you love them back in the 90s? Were you like a big fan then?
I loved them on the radio, and I never had an album, but I genuinely, genuinely loved their songs on the radio. Like, every time they came on, I turn it way up. But that was, like, those were my punk years. So I was listening to, like, Jawbreaker, you know, and Rancid, stuff like that.
Oh, my gosh. I had Rancid, Outcome the Wolves, like, I bought that thing several times because the CDs would get scratched, and I'm like, oh, I gotta buy it.
Yeah, totally. I love that record.
That's so cool.
It's so good. Awesome. I saw them one night open for Offspring. Yeah, my friend won tickets to go see them on a radio contest to go see Offspring, and we went. It was before they really blew up. It was this little punk club in Trenton, New Jersey called City Gardens, and the opening bands were Sheer Terror and Rancid.
Wow.
And I was like right in the front row. And when Rancid came on, I had never seen anything like it in my life. They're crazy. I'd never seen punk rock before.
Wow.
And their songs were so good and the bass player was shredding. That guy, Tim Armstrong, is a naturally gifted, incredibly talented songwriter. You know, he's got that knack. And that's always my favorite music is when there's a songwriter generating the ideas.
Yeah.
So I was overnight a convert. The very next day, I walked into school with spiky dyed neon green hair.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
It's funny, I found them in a very different way. So I grew up in like a very conservative town, obviously. I was like the good little church girl, and I was trying to listen to like cool punk rock stuff, and I was dating this guy, and he's like, "This is what you need to be listening to." And then that's how I found Rancid.
Oh, that's awesome. Because he was like,
whatever you're listening to is so cheesy. Stop, just stop it. And I was like, whoa.
Hey, thank goodness, right?
Yeah.
Isn't it wild how we find these things?
Yeah, it was so, yeah. I mean, I was so happy. Like, by far, one of my favorite records.
Yeah, so good.
Someone, oh man, this name. Oh, I feel so bad if I'm pronouncing these names right. I think it looks like Diane. Sorry for pronouncing your name wrong. She said during the Pledge music campaign, she bought a handwritten lyrics to You Vandal. And she said the live stream where y'all played Stay What You Are and Through Being Cool in its entirety was the best live stream ever.
Oh, that's awesome. Yeah. Oh, my God.
And this was before yesterday's live stream, so I don't know how it compares now. But
yeah,
before that.
Right? Oh, that is really sweet. Yeah. Thank you so much. That's awesome. I'm sure everyone that wrote you will be tuning in so I can answer them directly. That really means a lot to me.
Yeah, which I'm sad. Is that still, like, viewable? Because I need to see that.
I don't know.
It.
We should find out. I'm really bad at knowing what's going on. Like, I'm always, like, in the middle of making something new or out there touring.
Mm-hmm.
And so, like, now that I have time at home, like, yesterday was the first time I was ever on the Saves the Day YouTube channel. I've never been on it. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like, it has all our videos and stuff. This is rad. So I look forward to getting, learning more about what's out there, what kind of Saves the Day content is out there, too, so we can figure that out together.
Yeah.
But there is, next year is the 20th anniversary of Stay What You Are. So yeah. I imagine there will be more live streams and more shenanigans in the not-too-distant future.
Do you guys think you'll plan on doing a tour for that?
I think absolutely. I really want to.
Yeah.
We did these 20th anniversary Through Being Cool shows at the end of last year, and it was so fun. Just felt so good playing those songs and with everybody that came out, and it was like this celebration. And I'm really psyched to do that for Stay What You Are. I'd like to do a full tour instead of just a handful of shows.
Yeah.
So we did a full tour, a 15th anniversary tour of Through Being Cool in 2014 when that happened.
Mm-hmm.
And so I think that's partially why we only did a handful of shows when it turned 20, because we'd already done a full tour.
Ah, that does make sense.
But for Stay What You Are, when it turned 15, we only played one show, and it was for FYF Fest.
Oh, yeah.
And which was incredible, and it was so fun to play those songs. And so I'm really, really psyched on that. So keep your eyes peeled for that.
Yes. It's fun because I missed the last one and I'm still sad. So maybe I can make up for that with the
yeah. Oh, it'll be even better this time.
And I won't sit in the top of the troubadour. I'll like get down in the crowd. Like,
all right.
Like,
yes.
A true fan.
Heck yeah. Yeah. Well, now we're friends. So we'll
exactly.
High five.
And, yeah. It'd be fun.
It'd be great. Yeah.
Man, another fun name. Sicily, I'm guessing.
Sicily, yeah.
Cecily. It's a pretty looking name. Me and her both totally have nostalgia when it comes to hearing Shoulder to the Wheel. Like,
oh yeah.
That's by far, it was like one of my like Cruise Main Street in my little hometown songs.
Oh,
like,
that's
yeah.
Awesome.
And
that's rad.
So I'm curious if hers is the same, but just so you know, that's what she wanted to tell you.
Okay, that's rad. I love that song. I don't know if she has seen it, but or if you have seen it, but we recently did an animated video for Shoulder to the Wheel. When we re-released Through Being Cool, we put out a double album. It's called Through Being Cool TBC 20, when it turned 20. And it has a bunch of the basement demos that I made when I was writing the album, and then an amazing college radio live recording that sounds incredible from that all the way back then. But when that came out, we also made an animated video for Shoulder to the Wheel. And it's like a new version of the old video, which was us at a party.
Yeah.
I don't know if you've seen that. Uh-huh. So the animated video is kind of like that, but in the future. And it's really fun to watch. So if you haven't seen that, definitely go try to find that animated Shoulder to the Wheel video.
100% we'll do that today. That's
nice.
So cool. Man, yeah, I miss music videos. I wish that was like a part of our youth. You know, I'm like, I know people still do them, but it's not a thing.
Maybe we'll have time. Yeah, we'll have time to figure that out now. Yeah. That everything's going to be a little bit different.
Yeah. Aw.
Yeah.
That's so cool.
Yeah.
My one of my dearest best friends, JD, like when I think saves the day, I think and JD, and like we had such good memories. He wants to tell you that he loves the song "The Way His Collar Falls," and he wants,
oh, cool.
Yeah, he said it hits him every time, and he loves it so much. And he wants to know where you got your inspiration for writing that song.
So my friend Leif and I were actually on a train to New York. And the train car was car 1399, and there was actually a guy sitting across from us who had a quarter in his ear.
Like literally.
Like he literally had stuck a quarter in his ear.
Wow.
Like so the face, so the like George Washington's face was facing you, you know, not like sideways, like a coin slot.
Wow.
Yeah, and he was just sitting there chilling with the quarter in his ear. and anyway, this Leif was one of my closest friends ever growing up in school. And then when we all went to college, we all went our separate ways. But we, when everybody would come home, we'd all hang out again. And, you know, I hadn't seen Leif in like a few months, and I was so psyched to see him. I love him so much. Aww. My group of friends were like really, really close.
Yes.
And I was just a practicing poet at the time, like every day, just writing. Like my practice was basically to like write what was around me or write what was in my head. And I was doing stream of consciousness all the time. So that was literally me just sitting there detailing what was going on.
Wow.
Yeah. And yeah, I'm trying to get back into that practice because over the years I got much more interested in songwriting.
Okay.
But I kind of miss those days of just picking up the pencil and putting it to paper and not coming up for air for 20 minutes and then going back and seeing what happened.
Well, obviously it worked out for that song. So that'd be amazing if you keep doing that.
Yeah, well, I mean, I do it. I practice it for my lyrics. Mm-hmm. That's how I still write my lyrics. But I used to do, like, nowadays all my time is spent songwriting, so I would like to split some of my creative time up more with just creative writing instead of, yeah.
That'd be cool.
Are you
thinking of, like, if you do that, maybe sharing that, or does that something you keep to yourself?
Yeah, no, I'm thinking about trying to dedicate some time to maybe doing a book of poems.
Yeah.
Yeah, I think that'd be really, really cool.
Awesome.
Yeah.
I like that. All right. Shauna wants to know what your favorite song to perform live is.
Ooh, what a great question. I really like playing Cars and Calories.
Oh, yeah.
I love the lyrics of that song. And it's also one of the first songs I wrote when we came out to L.A. to record with Rob Schnapp.
Mm-hmm.
And the song just popped out of thin air, you know, like it was already fully formed. So it was like one of those things that's a gift.
Mm-hmm.
And I still just love that song. It's just very strange to me, but it's also very interesting and like poppy.
Yeah.
So I love playing that. It also has a cool bounce when you play it live. That's the first one that came to my head, but it is really hard to pick because I genuinely love playing and singing these songs. Like even when we were rehearsing for the Third Eye Blind tour in Seattle, we had two extended days of rehearsal, and like I would just lose myself in the music just in rehearsal. Wow. Just getting so psyched, like it's special to me every time I get to play them. Just like yesterday on the live stream, like I genuinely have fun doing this.
That's so cool. I really love that song too. I thought about it more too as I got more into living in LA. I'm like, this song, I get it. Like it makes so much sense.
Yep.
That's fun.
I wouldn't have written that I would not have written that had I never spent so much time in LA. And then we were out there for like 6 months making that first record.
Wow.
Or however long it was. And totally. It's got that sunshine, but also the social commentary.
Mm-hmm. 100%. What would you say? I know my favorite video for you guys is Freakish because I'm a sucker for colorful Muppets. what was your favorite?
I liked making the video for our song "The End."
Mm-hmm.
They like basically dug a grave and I got in it and they buried me in this grave in the woods.
Oh wow!
and they actually did it. And that, like, I never knew how cold the earth was until getting buried. And I also think that that song is just really cool. It's one of the songs that is, like, I love playing that song to the end. It's really cathartic to me.
Okay.
And it's so weird. I remember explaining this part to our drummer, Pete Parada, at the time. I said, I want it to sound like it's falling apart right here.
Wow.
And he wrote this perfect fill where it sounds like the entire song is just falling apart. So stuff like that. I like stuff that's like weird is probably my favorite adjective, weird or strange. You know, I just like stuff that's a little out of left field. Mm-hmm. I don't know, not consciously, but that's just my vibe. And so that one was, it was really fun to make, and the team that worked on that was incredible. So that's the one that pops into my mind. I also, I have to say, making At Your Funeral.
Oh yeah.
Was really special. Maureen Egan and Matt Berry, who made that, they made At Your Funeral and Freakish.
Wow.
And they were an incredible team to work with. The strangest thing happened with At Your Funeral. We were getting treatments for that video before we made it. And that, if you don't know what a treatment is, for those of you listening, it's when directors will send their idea of what the video should be. So let's say, you know, boy meets girl, they drive in a car out to the desert, the end. but I had this idea in my head of this stage, a circular stage that was spinning around, and it was cut into four sections. And each time it would go around, you'd see a scene from someone's life going by from start to finish. Yeah. So there'd be like a scene in, you know, in the nursery, and then the next one, the kids in school or something, and so on and so forth, all the way through adulthood and old age. But then I thought to myself, that would cost $1 million to make that.
Yeah.
So I never told anyone.
Oh, wow.
So all of a sudden I'm reading through these treatments, and I get to Maureen's treatment, and she has basically written the exact same idea.
Wow.
That I had in my head, but she knew how to execute it, and not for $1 million. So I was so spooked by that that I didn't tell anyone until we wrapped the video. And at the wrap party, I waited to the very end, and it was just me and Maureen in this little back bar at, I think we were at the Standard in Hollywood. Mm-hmm. And I told her. And we both just looked at each other, our eyes just popping out of our heads. Like, we could not believe. I just got chills thinking about it right now. And
that's awesome.
Yeah. So like that is a really, really crazy memory. And then what happened with that video was wild. It got picked up by MTV. And I remember MTV2 at the time when it debuted, they played that video every hour on the hour the day it came out.
Wow.
And at the time we were on tour with Weezer in our first arena tour ever. And so it was just a wild time to live through as a young, you know, as a 21-year-old kid. Like, jeez. It was just a crazy, crazy thing to experience.
That's really cool. How long does it take to normally, like, make a music video? What's the process like there?
We shot that in a day.
Oh, my gosh.
I think it was just one day. Yeah.
Wow.
We've never worked for more than one day on a music video.
Wow.
But I'm sure, like, Taylor Swift will take her sweet time.
Yeah. Yeah, her things, like, my husband works in the movie industry, so sometimes I'll be like, because what his job is, they, like, budget the movies and how much it's going to cost. And so I'm like, how much do you think this Taylor Swift video costs? You know, he's like, $4 million maybe? I'm like, good Lord.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, like, that's insane.
Wild.
Yeah. But I'm like, well, geez. Like, they're like miniature movies.
They really are. Like, the level that she does them is just bananas.
That's crazy.
Yeah.
Aww. I do also, speaking of MTV, I sound like an old person, but man, I miss the old MTV.
I do too.
It's so
I know.
Good.
So they are. Is that still a channel?
I don't know. I think I just gave up on it a bit. It's funny because I was on someone else's podcast and we were talking about Reality Bites. And the girl was like in her 20s and she doesn't remember MTV. Like MTV.
Wow.
And it was her first time seeing,
like,
Reality Bites.
16-year-old babies.
Yeah.
And
she's like, I think they were talking about, they were kind of like mentioning or like doing a play on MTV back in the day. I'm like, yeah, that's what MTV was back in the day.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh my gosh. But, that is so yeah. incredible how time marches on and then things like that.
Yeah. No, I'm always saying I'm very proud that I was born in 1981, which MTV was born in 1981. So I was like, yay.
Yeah. So I think we were born at a great
yes,
time.
I
we
agree.
Can remember the olden days mm-hmm. and we were like born into the frontier of the future.
Yes. I tell yeah. the girls I know that are like 17, I'm like, I used to get really excited to go home and wait for my boyfriend to call me on the telephone. But it had to be
I know,
home. I was
yeah.
like, you guys don't know how special it is anymore.
Yeah, and you ring the cord around your finger while talking.
Yeah, aw, that's so cool. Yeah, and they just look at me like, I think one of them once told me like, oh, you're like my cool work mom. I was like, oh my God.
Oh
like,
my God.
When did I become like the mom lady?
I know, right?
But
totally.
It's cool.
Yeah, with age comes wisdom.
It's true, very true.
Yeah.
I'm curious also, what is your, I'm sure this is probably hard to answer, what is your most requested song? That you think
oh, okay. I get asked to play Tomorrow Too Late a lot. It's the last song in Reverie, which
yeah.
that makes me very, very wow. happy. I love that song. It's also just cool to me that it connects with people. And I would say Nightingale.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, so Nightingale and Tomorrow Too Late.
Aww, that's
yeah,
really
Nightingale's
cool.
definitely the wedding song. I get asked to come play at people's weddings and do
Aww.
Nightingale.
Have you done
and,
that?
I have done that, Aww. But not as much as I would like to, and I think I'm trying to do that a little bit more. It's really a fun thing to do, and
totally.
It's also clearly a special Aww. Occasion.
That's really cool. I love that. Do you have a song that means more to you than others, or holds like a special meaning?
Oh, yeah, definitely. I think it varies. It varies to me from time to time. The song that just surfaced in the back of my mind as you asked me that was a song called Eulogy from mm-hmm. our album Sound the Alarm.
Yeah.
I love playing that song. It's very, very deep and appears to be dark, but all my songs are like songs of like surviving something, mm-hmm. triumphing over something. They're not like wallowing. None of my songs wallow.
Yeah.
And I also just... I love the bridge of that song. Just the chord progression to me is like really cool.
Yeah.
And yeah. And so like, I sort of like nerd out on that.
That's fun.
Yeah. And I like the guitar riff in the chorus. But I mean, I don't think I've ever thought to say that when anybody's asked me in the mm-hmm. past a question like that, but it was the song that popped up. So I'm going to give it some love.
Oh, that's awesome. And I'm sure. Yeah. That makes it a little bit more special.
And also, yeah. And also, I think one of the songs that might be my favorite, but like it is really hard to say, is a song called Where Are You from In Reverie. Mm-hmm. That song to me feels like it's from outer space. Like I don't even understand where it came from. And it's a really short song, but it feels like it's a full length, you know, song.
Yeah.
So it's almost like time travel. It's like a time warp.
I love that.
But I love that song and it's very existential.
Mm.
But it's really fun to play. It's so heavy.
That's so cool. I don't know if you, cause I know you, I mean, social media is like bananas, but I don't, every time there's a Wednesday, the third, I always say
oh, yeah.
saves the day, which I'm sure a lot of people do.
Yeah. Like, I love that.
And I'm
I
like,
love
does he
that.
Ever see that I saves the day?
Oh, that's so cool.
Yeah.
Heck yeah, that rules.
That's cool. I'm like, there needs to be a national Saves the Day Day.
Yo, I'm into that.
That's cool. Speaking of songs, also, I went and saw Rustin Kelly at the Troubadour recently, and he hadn't put out his, like, new record, or his little, I'm terrible with the record lingo. It's not like a record, but you know,
EP.
His emo song. EP, there
EP.
We go. Thank you.
Yeah.
And how he covers at your funeral. That's so fun.
No way. That's
Did you not
awesome.
Know that?
No.
Oh my God. You need
That's so cool. You should can you link me that after we're done?
Of course. Yeah.
I gotta check that
it.
Out.
And it's he
that
covers
so...
that. He covers Weedus, he covers Dashboard. It's oh my
That's
God.
Rad.
Are you familiar with Rustin Kelly at all?
I just know the name
oh,
so far.
He's
I'm gonna
so
get into it.
Good. A lot of people know him because he's married to Kacey Musgraves. So that's
nice.
Yeah, but he is this amazing songwriter. Yeah, and he released, I think it's, well, his whole thing is called Dirt Emo because he's kind of country, but he's like, I'm not country, I'm Dirt Emo.
Yeah, she totally came out of that whole world. Like, friends of mine, like Anthony Ranieri and our guitar player Arun, who live in Nashville, and they all used to hang out and stuff.
Wow. Yeah. Her husband is so freaking good. I'm so excited
Rad,
to share something
wait.
With you.
Yeah, I can't wait to check it out.
Oh, man. Yeah, when he put that out there, I was, like, so excited. So I went to the Troubadour. I was like, because he played it at some of the shows. Because, you know, you can follow the track listing. So I was, like, following the track listing to see what songs he was going to play. And he didn't play that one that night. He played Wheatus, the Teenage Dirtbag. And,
cool.
I was like, dang it. But I heard it. Someone else had posted him singing it. And I was like, I don't know. You'll see. It's so
awesome.
Good, Chris. Trust me.
Awesome. Oh, I can't wait.
Pumped. All right. So, okay. Speaking of songs, as you know, I have a soundtrack for my podcast. And I'm curious what songs you would like to add.
Okay. Well, I was thinking about this when you messaged me earlier. I think I'm going to include some of my favorite songs from when I was first, like, really getting excited about indie music.
Awesome.
And some of these bands, to me, are like the predecessors of emo.
Okay.
This first one might not feel like emo, but they influenced 1,000 emo bands. Do you know the band Archers of Loaf?
I don't.
An incredibly weird name.
Yeah.
But they sound, if you go and listen to them, you can tell how much Hot Rod Circuit loved them.
Ooh, okay.
And I also love them. There would definitely be no Saves the Day if it weren't for Archers of Loaf. And the first song on their first album is called Web in Front.
Okay, Web in Front, all right.
And the album is called Icky Metal, like metal, like M-E-T-T-L-E, like test your metal.
Okay.
And Icky, I-C-K-Y. It's an incredible album start to finish.
Awesome.
And that song is just so fun to listen to. And it's kind of got that 90s thing where you have no idea what the lyrics are about. But there is this incredible line where he says, and there's a chance that things will get weird.
Oh, fun.
And I just love it. It's a really, really fun jam. And I've been listening to that album since 1993.
Wow.
Yeah. And I recently connected with Eric Bachman, the singer, on Instagram. Instagram is so cool. Like, I didn't realize, you know, like, I only dove into the DMs like this past week, and that's how we got connected. I am so glad, you know. And I did it as like part of the mission to just connect with people in the times when people are feeling isolated and alone. Yeah. And it turns out that, like, wow, there's just everyone's here. We can all talk to one another. It's really rad. But I was able to say to him that there would be no Saves the Day without Archers. And he said that was very sweet. And so that was really, really wild. So anyway, Archers of Loaf would be my first selection.
Awesome.
The next song is Sunny Day Real Estate.
Oh, yeah.
Their song 7. It's the first song on their first album as well. And that song is so incredible to me. It almost sounds like prog rock sometimes.
Mm.
Like, there are parts of the song that sound like that band Yes, who I love. But then it's also like this, like, frantic punk indie rock just masterpiece. It has this huge chorus. Such a melodic chorus, and the singer Jeremy Enoch's voice is this high angelic voice. You've never heard anything like it. Yeah. And the bass playing is just outrageous. And it also has this incredible lyric when he says, "When time is poetry."
Mm.
And I just love that lyric. I think it's incredible. It's also another one that's kind of like got that 90s vibe where you're like, what are they talking about?
I love the 90s. They're the best.
I know, seriously. And then my last song I'd like to include is one of my all-time favorite bands, Jawbreaker.
Mm-hmm.
And their song, Jinx Removing.
Okay, Jinx.
It's from their album, 24-Hour Revenge Therapy, which is easily one of my top 5 favorite records of all time. And by far the most influential lyrics in terms of me becoming the songwriter and lyricist that I am. Mm-hmm. The songwriter Blake Schwarzenbach is my biggest lyrical hero by far.
Awesome.
I mean, wow. I used to just like go through that lyric book until it turned to dust, like you're an Outcome the Wolves CD.
Oh yeah.
And one time when I was in sophomore in high school, we had to write like a book report one summer. Mm-hmm. And I picked his lyric book.
Wow.
And I wrote the report as if it was a book of poems.
Okay.
And nobody batted an eyelid.
Wow. Eyelid.
Yeah. So like the teacher, who was a very learned guy, thought it was great poetry. So wow. There you go. Blake is a is a true artist.
That's awesome.
But that song also has a funny line in terms of what we're all going through today. He has a line that says, "If I don't go outside today, I never will." Yeah. And it's got an incredibly catchy chorus. And that's what really, really hooked me. But then I got into the lyrics, and it's just a great song. Also, I know you'll know this song on the Get Up Kids album, Something to Write Home About. The last song, I'll Catch You, has a reference to this song. He says, remembering, jinx removing.
Oh, yeah.
And that, knowing Matt, he's told me the backstory there. He was in Chicago. I believe they were playing with Jawbreaker. They were just at a Jawbreaker show, or somehow he surprised his wife, or she surprised him, which one or the other, by showing up together at this Jawbreaker show.
Aww.
And I think when she walked in, they were playing Jinx Removing.
Wow.
Or they had this incredible moment watching Jinx Removing, Jawbreaker at the Metro. And it was this magical moment for them in their storied romance. And I love the way he sings that line in that song. He really belts it out when he says, remembering, jinx removing.
Aww.
Every time I hear it, it gives me chills.
That's awesome. Aww.
Yeah.
That's really cool.
Yeah.
That's so fun. I like how like songs will do that. I a couple episodes ago, I was talking to my friend Jay, and he was talking about a song that MIA sampled. Was it The Clash, I believe?
Oh, cool.
Yeah, and you know that Paper Planes, I don't know. And I don't know. It'll make sense if you go listen to the soundtrack.
Oh, yeah.
But I was like, wow.
Okay, rad.
I never would have never thought of that. And now I'm like, all I can hear now when I hear this Clash song is MIA, which is very strange.
Oh, that's awesome.
Like, to think like those two together. But I'm like, that's really cool. Like, I really like this song more now.
Oh, I love sampling for that reason.
Yeah.
That's
so cool. Man, well, this was fun.
This was really fun.
Yeah.
Thank you so much for wanting to chat. I had a blast.
Yay. I'm really pumped. I am so excited for all the live
parties. Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
Yeah.
Maybe I'll do Jinx Removing on the next one.
Yes.
I'm definitely going to be incorporating more covers.
Very cool.
Yeah, it's going to be awesome.
I am beyond pumped that I get to show you that Rustin Kelly cover. Right now.
Yeah, I'm psyched. I'm so psyched.
I will. As soon as like we're done, I'm going to like text it to you. I'm like, you got to listen
okay,
to
I'll,
it.
I'll show it. I'll show it to Lloyd.
Yes.
Lloyd's a big Saves the Day fan, so he's going to be psyched on that.
That's so cool. Awesome.
Yeah.
Thank you so much, Chris.
Absolutely. Thank you, Christy. This was so much fun.
Okay, like seriously, right? Like one of the nicest people ever. I'm a total dinkus. I quit recording like 15 seconds too early, and I wanted to let you guys know that he went on to say, have an awesome day, and that we're all going to make it out of all this together. And I believe what he's referring to is how the world is kind of upside down right now. But I'm so thankful that we have people like Chris and bands like Saves the Day, because it truly does make the world better. And yeah, I'm just so thankful for that. I left this conversation feeling like super inspired and excited about continuing to be creative and loving music like I always have. And as a podcaster, sometimes you interview people and it's just like a one-time thing, and you kind of move on. But I genuinely feel like I made a great friend during this, and I'm so happy about it. It's just so fun, right? So thank you so much, Chris, for being just a really awesome human. You're really freaking rad. Okay, we added 6 songs to the podcast soundtrack today. The first 3 are Chris's picks that we talked about in the episode, and those are Archers of Loaf, Web in Front, Sunny Day Real Estate's 7, and Jawbreaker's Jinx Removing. And then I added 3 more of, you know, just some fun ones that we talked about, which are The Get Up Kids, I'll Catch You, and Rustin Kelly's cover of At Your Funeral, which is so freaking good. And I'm so happy that Chris now knows that that's out in the world because it's amazing. And of course, I put a Saves the Day song in here because duh. And I put Saves the Day by Saves the Day, and it's off their newest record, 9. All very amazing songs. And you can find the links to the soundtrack and so much more over at my Instagram at Christy G. And just hit the link in the bio. It'll give you all kinds of goodies, including to my website where you can read some really fun interviews I did over the years. And I really think if you like bands like Saves a Day, you're going to find some in there that you'll really, really enjoy. So be sure to check that out. Also, give Chris a follow on Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, follow the band, all that stuff. Show him how much you love him and the band because he's so great at what he does and he loves you guys so much. So send him some more love. And also, check out Digital Happy Hour on YouTube on Mondays. And that's where Chris is doing a live stream of some really fun songs. So all just really great things that we need in the world today. Super fun. Awesome, awesome, awesome. Be about it. And if you could please, like, give me some reviews or rate, subscribe, tell your friends, all the fun stuff that all us podcasters really love and enjoy. And if you leave me a fun, like, review or something silly even, I'll totally give you a shout out in the next episode. So thank you so much, guys, and y'all have an amazing day. Thank you guys so much for listening. I will see you next episode. P.S. A special thanks to MXPX for providing the music for the podcast. They are the freaking coolest.